continuing our theme of people of the passion, it's my privilege and really my honor to present the Apostle Peter. Now, I got to say, I'm feeling pretty fortunate. Last week it was Judas. Next week it's Pontius Pilate. I think my clergy brothers and sisters are showing a little mercy to the new guy, so I get Peter. Interestingly enough, the more I learn about this man, Simon, son of Jonah, whose name is translated as rock, the more I believe I'm able to identify with him. Now, obviously, I'm not identifying with the impact he's had in helping establish the early church or the incredible influence that he has had on the 20 centuries of Christianity following. But I do identify with him in the number of times he wanted to do the right thing, only to end up failing miserably. If there's one thing I've learned as a Christian, one who seeks to follow Jesus Christ, that we're going to constantly fall short. However, the one indisputable quality Peter had is that every time he failed, he got back up. If we were to examine his words and his actions, we could make a strong case that his words didn't always match his actions. Jesus, speaking to Peter on the eve of his betrayal in Luke 22, "I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison or to death." That was Peter's desire. And those were his words. But what were his actions? Luke 22 following. "Then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl seated there in the firelight, she looked closely at him and said, 'This man was with him.' But he denied it, 'Woman, I don't know him.' A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, 'Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.' Peter replied, 'Man, I don't know what you're talking about.' Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. I can tell you there's been plenty of times I too have wept bitterly. Times when I've realized that my life has not portrayed what my promises to God have conveyed. He wept bitterly. In the Greek, pikros, and it means with heartbreaking grief. And it's here, in the bitter weeping, the pikros, that we discover Peter's true heart for his Lord and Savior. It was in the heartbreaking grief he experienced every time he fell short of complete faith and trust in Christ. It's how we know his love for Jesus was real. You know, we could feel sorrow in our trespasses or embarrassment when our actions result in disobedience to God. The question we have to answer, do we ever experience pikros, a heartbreaking grief for our sins? The life of Peter recorded in Scripture gives me tremendous encouragement to keeping on every time I fall short. Take Peter's experience in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' 'Lord, if it is you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got out of the boat walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith. Why did you doubt? Now, a number of theologians I've read use this story to point out Peter's lack of faith. But for me, I choose to look at what Peter's faith enabled him to do. One thing I think we forget in this account is that Peter, a mere human being, was at one time walking on top of the Sea of Galilee. And because of that, Jesus was in essence saying to him, Peter, you don't lack faith. It was your faith that enabled you to do as I have done. No, it's not a lack of faith, but a trusting in the faith that you do have. Jesus taught this to his disciples in Luke 17. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. The reality is, all of us are so much like Peter. And like Peter, if we have chosen to receive God's incredible gift of grace, it isn't a lack of faith that we have, but a trusting in the faith that we have been given. Yeah, it's true. Peter suffered from the disorder known as foot and mouth disease. But I have to believe that was also one of his most endearing qualities that Jesus loved about him so much. He wore his heart on his sleeve. Sure, he was impulsive. He was headstrong. He didn't think things through a lot. But one thing no one could ever question, the passion and the love he had in his heart for his Savior. And what is it that Scripture tells us about our hearts? 1 Samuel 16:7. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Here's one time Peter knew better than Jesus. In John 13. After that, he poured water into a basin, Jesus did, and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, Peter replied, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Well, then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. I have to be honest and say that there are times in my life that I think I know better than the Lord too. See, Simon saw how utterly unworthy he was to have his feet washed by Jesus. Another quality I so closely identify with Peter. God's infinite mercy and the amazing grace that he has for me looks so out of place in my life at times. And it causes me to think of this moment in the upper room. And I quickly realize that if my salvation rests on my works or on anything other than the mercy and grace of an all-perfect, all-patient, all-agape-loving God, then Jesus will have no part with me either. At the end of John's Gospel, after our Lord's crucifixion and resurrection, just before he returns to the Father in the ascension, Jesus makes one final stop. And one final supplication. Not surprisingly, it's two with Peter. John 21, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Why did Jesus choose to go to Peter? Why not John or James, Andrew, or even Thomas? Peter, who time and time again failed miserably in living out his faith, I'm convinced it was because of his passion. Passion, brothers and sisters, our Lord is a passionate Lord. And he desires his followers to be passionate people. Passionate people can be attractive. Passionate people are called to be radiant. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill. Paul's letter to Titus makes the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Our call is to be an attractive people. But a people who attract others not unto themselves, but to an almighty, merciful Father. Let us follow the example of Peter as we passionately and unashamedly live out our lives for Jesus. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and most merciful Father, we are such a grateful people. We are so thankful for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us time and time again. We're thankful for your long suffering with us. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to die for us. And Father, as the world is looking now during this Lenten time, I pray that their eyes be open, their ears to hear. And I pray that you lead us, each one of us, that you call your children to tell them the story. May you receive honor and glory and praise. And Father, we ask a blessing upon this meal and the hands that prepared it and those that serve it, that it would nourish us, strengthen us, so we could further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.